Hello, everyone. How is everyone doing in this week? We hope by God's grace, everything is well with you. This is another week of Hour of Healing. We are here to do a continuation of series that we started, which is Who is Wisdom, right? So this week, we are really going to go in depth about wisdom and where it's going, the benefits of it, how to attain it, and basically just living your life in wisdom, being ordered by wisdom. Like biblically, you know, we know a man that God raised, and by wisdom, he was able to govern a whole nation that many people come and fail, right? So we will find out today how to get it, who to go to for it, if there is anybody to even go to for it. But we'll find out today. So I'm here with Dr. Joe, as usual. My name is Candace. I'm going to be your host. And welcome in, Dr. Joe.
Thank you very much, Candace. How are you doing?
Good, great. How was your week? I hope everything is good, good, good.
Yes, by God's grace, everything has been good.
We thank God. And I hope viewers out there too, you have been great. Your week has been great. And we are here to provoke you. So be ready. Make sure to, you know, subscribe, share to your family and friends so they can also be a blessing. All right. So Dr. Joe, the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about wisdom, right? So
correct.
If you can give us a brief summary of last week's, and then we'll delve into this week's topic or subtopic, I should say.
Yeah, Sister Kangas, thank you so much for hosting us again today. And you are right. Over the past couple of weeks, we've been looking at who wisdom is. And by the grace of God, I was able to share with our audience that wisdom is a spirit. And as a spirit, wisdom is able to manifest as a person. And so when it comes to personifying wisdom, I had mentioned that I choose to call wisdom a she. And so we looked at a few things regarding that. And we also looked at where wisdom comes from. We were able to touch base on the types of wisdom, which I will employ our audience to go back to listen to that recording, which will be just a week ago. And by way of background today, Sister Candace, I want to answer a question that came up as audience listened to last week's episode. And so I know we mentioned it in the part two, but this question came really after the part one was released. And so it's actually addressed somewhat in part two. But the question was, can someone have the spirit of wisdom without God? In other words, can we have God's wisdom without God? And the answer to that is no. And the reason is this. This sometimes can be confusing, Sister Candace, that we tend to think that because people are walking in dimensions of wisdom, automatically what they are doing is from God, or what they are doing has the blessing of God. But that is not true. And so if you go back to last week, we talked about the fact that Satan gives wisdom. He gives supernatural ability to apply knowledge. And when anyone is walking in that dimension, they are exercising wisdom, but it does not have the benefit of God's blessing. And the other question was that if we say that wisdom is being able to deduce the quality of information and to apply them to better humanity, how can someone be using satanic wisdom when what they are doing benefits humanity? And the truth is, yes, satanic wisdom in certain instances can benefit humanity. But at the end of the day, the question is, at what expense? Yes, Satan gives gifts to people, but there is always an ask back. And so don't mistake him for a moment that Satan doesn't give things to people. No, he gives gifts. The way one of my spiritual mentors many years ago described it to us when we were young was that if Satan is handing you a gift in the right hand, know for a fact that the left hand has a hook that is swinging around to draw you in and to make you a slave to him. And so Satan does give gifts. And those gifts can be used in some instances to benefit humanity. The supernatural ability for some people who have invented things that have been beneficial to humanity overall, it's not always from God. And so when the supernatural ability you are applying to show forth that wisdom does not come from God, then it's not God's wisdom. And so those were the two questions that came up after our first recording that I wanted to address, that yes, you can have wisdom without God. But today I pray that as we go through our hopefully final section of this discussion, we will be able to show you why God's wisdom, who is also called the Spirit of Wisdom, tends to be superior to all the other forms of wisdom that we looked at last week. But that does not mean that the other types of wisdoms necessarily are wrong, or you cannot have them without God.
But the Bible says that all good and perfect gifts come from above, right? So if the devil is given a gift, and you mentioned something about he can give gifts that can be beneficial to humanity, but being something being a benefit or of a benefit is a good thing, right? But I don't believe that the devil does good things. So is there like a caveat to this? Because it's like saying, okay, so the devil gave a good thing, a voice to someone, right? That's a gift, right? And that person is using it to sing, to make people's life happy and peaceful and stuff like that. So, you know, it's, he's helping them. Like, that's it. And but I don't believe from the angle of where the devil is, he ever does anything good. So can you, you know, elaborate on that more so that we don't get certain things confused here?
Yeah, so that's actually a very accurate question to ask, or a statement to make. Now, when I say that the devil can give, or Satan gives gifts, the truth is that, yes, you are right. In his nature, his goal has always been threefold: to steal, to kill, and to destroy. No matter who you are, no matter what you do, that is Satan's ultimate aim. But the fact that that is his ultimate aim doesn't mean that he will entice you with other things. And so Satan can entice you with money. Satan can entice you with fame, popularity, pleasure. These things, from our human standpoint, are not bad. Money is not evil in itself. And so the reason why we seek to reject everything from the devil is because everything that he is doing has those three things at the back of it, that it will steal you from God, it will kill your purpose in God, and it will destroy your destiny. And so in the example that you gave, Satan did not give the voice. The voice was a God-given ability. And the voice is like knowledge. To be able to use that voice to sing, you need an ability, an enablement. And when you have acquired that ability to use the voice, making music in your example is actually a very different technique. Not everybody with a good voice can sing. And that is where fraternity with spirits come in, like I was sharing last week, that you can have a good voice, you can choose to be a singer, but the ability to make music that will attract the heart of men requires wisdom. And so the question then becomes, what is giving that ability to apply those talents? And you can seek that enablement from the devil. And so in your case, you will say it's good for you. It's a gift to you because the devil has given you the ability to use that voice to touch the hearts of people. It's the same as being a preacher. Not all preachers, I'm sorry to say, are from God. There are people who see that art of preaching solely as a means of making money. It's a business entity for them. And so in that instance, Where are you getting that enabling? Because the words that we speak doesn't change anyone. It is the spirit that backs the words that we speak that converts people. The same way, it is not the music that you are making that is changing people. Because if it is the music that is changing people, then how come there could be two people sitting in the same place listening to the same music, but one will say this is useless and the other will say this is my jam? The reason why one is able to say that is because there are certain spiritual communications that happen with these arts that we know, whether music, preaching, entertainments of all forms. There are certain spiritual exchanges that happens. And when there are no buttons for these exchanges to be tapped in your heart, they don't mean anything to you. There are things within man that God has put in us, that unsatiable appetite, yearning that is deeper than anything that money or relationships or whatever we know in this world can satisfy. That is a receptor. And the Spirit of God is able to prick that within our hearts so that when we hear the word of God, we don't resist it. We can yield to it. In the same way, when a musician makes music that is being sponsored by fraternity with spirits that are ungodly, there are certain things within a heart that those spirits will be able to communicate with. And if they are not able to make that, that music will not have effect. Mm-hmm. And so to go back to your question, yes, the devil gives gifts. But to what gain? The gain is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And it's not always going to be stealing, killing, and destroying at the same time. There is a process. And by the time you know it, your heart has been stolen. Mm-hmm. Your purpose in God has been destroyed. And unfortunately, at that time, you are led for death to God. And to all things God.
Right, right. And one of the things too that I just wanted to pick from what you said is that we have to also keep notice of is when the devil is trying to lead you into this path of supposedly wisdom that he's giving you, he always goes by your inner deep desire, right? That is correct. Why I think one of the main cores of us when we come to God is when he wants us to circumcise our hearts, work on us, our mind, you know, like work really in our soul so that when the devil comes to search to try to find something to entice us, like how Dr. Joe was saying, there will be only godly desires, right? You desire mm-hmm. fame, mm-hmm. he will come through that avenue. You know, you desire money, he will come through that avenue. And to you, it's like, oh, I gained wisdom to be able to become a millionaire, whatever.
Correct. Right? Correct.
But it was your inner desire that was not really centered on Christ that he used to make you feel this type of way. But yeah, that's just something I just wanted to point out, you know. So let's get back to the topic for today. I think one of the questions that came up in last week's discussion was searching or pursuing wisdom, right?
Correct.
And I think one of the questions, I don't know if I asked or it just came up, but it was like, so if you just find a person to go to, or if you find a source of wisdom, when you just like you, when you get there, that's it. You just get wisdom, or do you? Is there steps? Is there a process? Right. So I want to find out if you can, you know, explain this further for us. How can wisdom be released to a person? Is it even released, or how can it be obtained? I should say. So if we can delve into that.
Yeah, thank you so much, Sister Candace, for that question. And yes, I know you did ask that last week and we started talking about it, but time was against us as usual. And so we were only able to point out a few things about where wisdom really comes from. But the question you ask is very important because there are many who, when they have been confronted with the truth like we have, about who wisdom is, they will go straight to someone who they know works in certain dimensions of wisdom, and they would expect to get wisdom. But the question is, how, right? There are certain things that once you have found God, because we talked about the fact that when you talk about God's wisdom, which is the ultimate level of wisdom that anyone can have. And when we talk about where wisdom is going later in our recordings, I'll show our audience why God's wisdom is the ultimate wisdom that we need to get. But once you have found someone who is a possessor of this spirit called wisdom, how do you get it? The truth is, even for Christians, when you have found God and God does lead you to anyone else for wisdom, there are things that has to take place. Because, Takendis, the benefits of God's word to us is not the hearing of his word or his principles, but actually the doing of the word. Because when you read the book of Hebrews, he says that the same word was preached to them, but it did not benefit them, not being mixed with faith. In other words, we can get the knowledge that we need from the word of God. And the knowledge, which is truth, is supposed to set us free. But there is a dynamic that happens that brings about that manifestation of freedom. And that is this action or this word that the Bible calls faith, right? And so what is this faith that is able to bring about the manifestation of things like wisdom and things like that? Faith is an action word. Faith is a doing word. And so there are things you do once you have found God. And one of the things that you do is through the sacrifice of meditation. We talked about the sacrifice of oneself, selflessness, that passionate desire for God. Those are all things to get you closer to God. Now, once you are closer to him, if it is wisdom that you need, because there are a lot of things you will get when you get close to God, but if it is wisdom that you are seeking for, then you must learn to meditate. You must learn to spend time with God, listening to him as opposed to you telling him things. Most of us, including myself, we are more prompt to speak when we are in the presence of God. But Sister Candace, God does speak. If we allow him, if we give him the space, if we set the atmosphere right, and that's why it's so important, my dear Christian brother or sister, to be in the atmosphere of worship. When you read Exodus, he says that, "And as my people worship me, I will send healing in their midst," which means that there are a lot of things that we don't necessarily have to ask God when we have set the right atmosphere. And when I talk about atmosphere, I'm not talking about the light shows and all these things that we see in our churches today. No, I am talking about the atmosphere of presence when he is there. You know, one thing that technology has helped us to know is that there are cars now, Sister Candace, that you don't necessarily have to use a key to unlock when you get close to them. Science teaches us that when there is presence, things can be unlocked. And the same thing happens spiritually, that when the presence of God is present in a place, things get unlocked. Mysteries are downloaded, doors are opened, and things happen in our life. Wisdom is imparted. And so meditation is a very important thing. And if you are great at meditation, please reach out to us on hourofhealing23@gmail.com, because I need all the help I can get. God bless you on that. The second way, when you have come to God, that you are able to acquire wisdom is just asking for it. And I think I mentioned that last week when I talked about James 1:5. He says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask. And what is this? Is this asking different from just asking him, God, give me wisdom? Sister Candace, the interesting thing about this wisdom is he says that open your mouth and I will fill it. Open your mouth and I will fill it with wisdom, which means that the point of the exchange or impartation of wisdom happens when we open our mouth to be vessels for God. when we get to the point or the place where we say that we are ready for him to move through us, when we become channels, then he speaks wisdom out of us. And so we can be filled with wisdom by availing ourselves. That is what this asking is about. Unlike just asking God, give me wisdom, but the availability of a vessel saying that God, I am ready for you to do with me what you want, to do through me what you want or desire for my life. That in itself allows wisdom to flow out of us. The other way, once you have found God, to be able to get this wisdom. And personally, I think this is one of the most common ways, because in my little experience with the spirit of wisdom, most of them happened in dreams and in visions. And this, my friends, is biblical. When Sister Candace talked about Solomon in the introduction, when Solomon had sacrificed to God so that he will be closer to God, so that God will be near him, the Bible says that in the night, God now comes to Solomon in a dream and then asks Solomon, what do you want me to do for you? I want you to pay attention to two things here, that the sacrifice was not to get wisdom. So yes, you can get to the place of wisdom by sacrifice, but the sacrifice itself is not for you to get the wisdom. But the sacrifice is to get you to God, who is the one who knows that where that wisdom is. And so when God had come to Solomon, the second thing I want you to note is this. God asked Solomon, what do you want me to do? He gave him a blank check. And he said that you would fill me with wisdom to lead your people. And so when Solomon now has awoken from his sleep, a case is brought to him, unknown to anyone who went to bed with Solomon. And this, Sister Candace, is the powerful thing that I have come to learn about God, that we can be seeking a lot of things from him, that we will be praying for a lot of things from him, and we will sleep as though we are dead. And then in dreams, he makes certain things known to us, but unbeknown to anyone else, we wake up, and by his grace, Sister Candace, he manifests supernatural things out of our lives, that you will lay on the same bed with someone at night, but you wake up a completely different person. This is how awesome God is. So Solomon wakes up, unbeknown to anybody, and even to himself, what he is now, a case is brought to him that in our day and age, we will say that the Supreme Court has to make a life or death decision on this. And when the case is brought to him, Solomon engages the word of God. He says, bring me a sword. Ephesians will help us to realize that the word of God is the sword of the spirit. And so he engages the word of God. And by engaging the word of God, what was imparted to him in dream now manifest in reality. And so wisdom can be released to an individual through dreams and through visions. And the same thing happens when people fraternize with other spirits. They are given certain instructions to do, and upon completion of those instructions is when wisdom is released. Candace, there are orchestrations, there are happenings that are beyond the physical realm. And then, Sister Candace, the final way that I will share with our audience about how wisdom is released onto a person is that a wisdom is released onto a person who engages in abstract thinking. That when we allow our mind to think beyond our possibilities, wisdom is able to be released unto us.
Like imagination.
Yes, mindset. Yes, critical thinking. And so science will teach us that there are a lot of our fathers in science who came up with a lot of laws, a lot of things that have been beneficial to humanity today, just because they allowed their mind to think critically about the common happenings that everybody was experiencing at the same time. And so we talk about the fact that I believe Newton was sitting under a tree and a fruit fell from the tree, hit his head, and so he started thinking abstractly and things of that nature. So for the sake of time, I want us to be able to talk about where wisdom is going. And so I will end it on these four things, and then we'll be able to pick up from there after your input.
Wow, that's very powerful. And, you know, when we speak about meditation, asking, sacrifice, these are things that you don't really associate them with wisdom. From my experience, maybe you know, viewers out there, you have, but, you know, sometimes when you're meditating, you have a set kind of goal, if I should say. But one of the goals I don't think is to gain wisdom. So this is very interesting. And then, you know, the asking, like some of the stuff that we touched on today is very profound, because like asking, I think for so many years you've heard ask and you shall receive, asking, like that means just go in your closet, kneel down or something and say, God, I want this. I want A, I want B. But, then the question becomes, many people ask, but why are they not receiving, right? And I do know that there's a scripture that speaks about you have asked and, you know, you have not received because you did not believe, right? But I think part of the believing aspect is the openness of your heart. You know,
correct.
Did you ask with your lips or your heart and all of you partake in the asking? You know, so that's very, very profound. But I don't know if I misunderstood the aspect of sacrifice in terms of attaining wisdom. Did Solomon gain wisdom as a reward after his sacrifice? Is that what we...
No, so the sacrifice is to get you an entrance or closeness to God. You get to know God through that act of sacrifice, whether self-sacrifice, offerings, and all those things that we talked about last week. So those get you closer to God. Now, once you are closer to God, you are able to now see what his heart is, see where his desires are. And once you know that, you are able to tap into that and be able to become a useful vessel or tool in his hands.
So initially with Solomon, he wasn't thinking of getting wisdom. It was just when the question was asked of him.
Correct.
That's when, okay, so that's when he thought about, you know, requesting for wisdom.
Correct.
Okay, so that's interesting. So then that means there are some things, especially with wisdom that we are referring to. I think this is part, sometimes an issue in the body of Christ. We always want to do something for something. Like when it comes to God, we are serving God so that he will bless us. We are serving God so that we will get this, we'll get that. But, you know, with Solomon's situation, he was just doing what he wanted, like what his heart was.
He was worshiping. Yeah.
Right. He was just worshiping God out of love. Yeah. Just out of his willingness. But then here comes the reward of wisdom. Right. So we're not saying like, just do all you can. Like I want to get close to God so I can get wisdom. That's not the motive. The motive is to get close with, you know, the intention of building a relationship with him, having an intimacy with him. And then, like Dr. Joe said, you'll be able to tap into his mind and his heart, because you can get close to God by serving and all that stuff, but God will only release wisdom when he sees where your heart is, your motive,
correct,
your intentions. And that comes with intimacy and true desire and love for him. So where is wisdom going? You know, with everything that we are talking about, where is it going? How is it beneficial to us? So how far can it take us, if I should say?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is the million-dollar question, Sister Candace. How far can wisdom take us? Before I answer this humongous question, I want to actually add on to what you were just saying about loving God. You know, he says in Jeremiah that I know the thoughts that I think towards you. And when you love God because he is a loving father, he is a good father. Sister Candace, there is no telling how far God will take you. Anyone who genuinely loves God, only God himself knows the heights, the riches, the wealth, the influence, the power, the magnitude of how much in his infinite love he will take that person. And so that has to be our desire. That has to be our cry, that we serve him, we worship him, we offer to him, we do all these things. We spend and we are spent not to gain favors with him, even though, yes, those are benefits that come with it. But we really do all those things so that we will know his heart, so that we will be able to show the world how good this God is. And so that is just something that I wanted to add to what you were saying to us. Pastor Candace, where is wisdom going? How far can wisdom take us? And Pastor Candace, you know, I have been pondering this all week. As a matter of fact, for about 6 months now since God gave me this topic, where wisdom is going. And as I was saying, whenever we are confronted with any truth, that truth brings us to the point of decision. And the decisions we make will have inevitable consequences in our life. Whether it will have influence on our now, our present, or it will have influence on our eternal future. So really, where wisdom is going is the city. Wisdom is going to the city. And what do I mean by the city? The city is the place of decisions. The city is that junction that I just talked about. The city is where business is conducted. The city is where governance takes place. The city is where education takes place. The city is the place of great riches. The city is the place of unquestionable health and integrity. The city, yes, is the place of happiness. And we all know, if you've ever lived in Atlanta, Georgia, the city is the place of entertainment. And that really is where wisdom is going. Wisdom is going to lead us to this place where he shows us what he is able to do. And as I was meditating on scripture, Sister Candace, we will do something that we've probably never done in Hour of Healing before. And that is, we'll be going through scripture and let wisdom tell us where she is going herself. And so we will be looking at Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. And it talks about the excellence of wisdom. Your question was, how far can wisdom take us? Well, let's look at what wisdom says about herself. And I implore our audience that you can read along with us, but I will be kind of reviewing this so that we don't take too much of your time. But right from the first verse, he says, does not wisdom cry out and understanding raise her voice? And then she goes right on to tell us where she's going. She says that besides the gates to the city, at the entrance, she cries out. So this is where wisdom is. She has her dwelling in the city. And she says, you who are simple, come and I will teach you how to be shrewd. You who are foolish, I will teach you how to have understanding, because understanding dwells with me. He says that I speak of noble things, talking about honor, that when I open my mouth, I reveal what is right. My mouth speaks truth and I detest wickedness. So when wisdom is manifesting in a life, these are the things that we see. This is how far wisdom will take you. It takes you to the place where you don't indulge in wickedness. You don't tell lies. So the wealth that you gain it honestly, because he says, with me is riches, durable riches, riches more than gold and silver. Is that saying this? She says that receive my instructions. This is wisdom talking. Receive my instructions rather than silver, and receive what I give you in knowledge rather than gold. Why? Because wisdom is more precious than rubies, which is currencies, things that are wealthy, and nothing you desire compares to me. And so if you desire understanding, wisdom is how you get there. If you desire to have an ease in life, as you were sharing with us last week, wisdom is how you get to that place of ease in life. So think about it this way, that wisdom is like the GPS that guides to this place where we will call a wealthy place. I dwell with prudence, and knowledge and discretion, you find them with me. Who in this life does not want to have discretion, integrity? That's what we're talking about. She guides you to counsel and sound judgment. With me is insight and strength. By me, kings reign and princes make decrees. So when you ask, where can wisdom take us? It will take us to the place where we are friends to kings. Where we are advisors, counsel to kings. This is where wisdom leads us. Let's keep going, because she has more to say about herself. She says, with me are riches and honor. Yes, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruits are better than gold. Yes, even pure gold. And my harvest surpasses choice silver. This is wisdom talking about herself. She says that she walks in the way of righteousness. And for that reason, when we walk along with her, she leads us to the place of justice. And not only that, Sister Candace, but she says that I bestow wealth to those who love me, and I make their treasuries full. So when we live life and we realize that our life is void of health, void of riches, void of knowledge, then instead of asking what we did wrong, we should be asking ourselves, where is wisdom? And where can we find her? Candace, let's see a few more things that wisdom shares about herself, right? She says that the Lord created me as the first thing before he created anything. In other words, wisdom is telling you and I that she existed before we came to be, and she will be here after we are long gone. And so it's not a matter of wisdom running out or not being available at a certain time. Remember last week we talked about Job chapter 28, where Job was talking about the mountains and the depths of the earth and the seas and all that. Wisdom says, before the mountains were settled and the hills were brought forth, before the lands were made and the earth was created, I was there. That is why the earth does not contain wisdom. And so you can tie this directly to what Job was saying, that the earth has not been able to produce wisdom. Why? Because she existed before they came to be. I was established in the heavens. And when my maker inscribed a circle on the face of the deep, talking about creating the heavens and the earth, wisdom is speaking that the heaven and earth and the stars and the galaxies and humanity is not all that God created. Wisdom is telling you and I was created by God. When the boundaries of the sea was set, I was there. And so you cannot go into the sea. My dear viewer or listener, you cannot go to the spirits or the powers of the sea, the gods of the sea, that people worship, to get this wisdom. He says that when the clouds were established and the fountains were made, I was there. So wisdom surpasses all these things. Sister Candace, I'm taking the time to take our audience through this, because when you realize what wisdom says about herself, then you know that any other place outside God that you go for this spirit called wisdom, it's not God's wisdom.
But it's interesting because I'm realizing like we should really desire and seek for wisdom because it's with the creation, with how things are aligned in the skies, with how things are organized on the face of the earth, you can see wisdom at work. You can see the spirit of wisdom at work in all of these things.
Correct.
And it just marvels me because we see the works of God's hands and we see how wonderful it is, right? But I'm realizing that the wonder of it is wisdom because wisdom made it so.
So listen to what wisdom says about herself in verse 30 of the passage we are reviewing. Mm-hmm. He says that, I was a skillful man. I was a skilled craftsman at God's sight. And God delighted in me day and night. And I rejoiced always in his presence. So God created everything with wisdom. And so you cannot have dominion over things that were created by bypassing this spirit called wisdom. He says, I was rejoicing in his whole world, delighting together in the sons of men, which means that wisdom was not made to dwell in the heavens. God made wisdom to dwell with us. And so let's finish up with what we are talking about. He says, now therefore, my sons, listen to me, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instructions and be wise. Remember in part one, I talked about the fact that when we talk about someone being wise, sometimes it's really a misjudgment because someone giving an exegesis of a topic that they are knowledgeable about can sound wise, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they have wisdom. Because for you to have wisdom, you must heed to the instruction of wisdom. He says that my sons, the ones who listen to me, are blessed because I wait at their doorpost. In other words, they don't go out without me. And this is where my main point is. Verse 35 and verse 36. Whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor with God.
Wow.
Whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor with God. But whoever fails to find me harms himself. All who hate me love death. And this is where wisdom is taking us to. Wisdom, Sister Candace, is taking us to the place of life and favor with God. Everything that we have talked about that wisdom does can be obtained through favor with God and through life. And so wisdom says that if you hate me or if you fail to find me, you may find other wisdoms. You may find other things, but you will not find life because you will love death.
Right.
And that, Sister Candace, is the answer to your question. Where is wisdom taking us? It's taking us to the city, to the place of decision, to that junction where we have to decide which way we're going to go. But she makes a case for herself that if you find me, and truly if it is me, the spirit of wisdom,
then you are after.
That you find, you will find life and you will find favor with God. And so the Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the ultimate thing. Why? Because whoever finds wisdom finds life. And that is where wisdom is taking us.
And this has me thinking about how, you know, like the outline by which God has laid out for us to follow for an easy life, for a better life, for a blessed life, for a peaceful life, for a happy life. I'm realizing it's governed by wisdom. So if you bypass wisdom, everything that you do, the path that we follow, or the journey that we go on to, like you said, it will lead you to love death, because that's where you're heading at.
Correct.
And it's so profound that, you know, we speak, I think there are, scripturally, there are seven spirits of God, which is the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding. It goes on and on and on. Mm-hmm. But then you don't understand the depths of what that spirit is, right? And today that we've spoken about who wisdom is, it gives us a better understanding of the spirit of wisdom at work through God. And we are realizing that it's a very significant aspect of how God works in our lives,
yes,
and works with us, that we can't just bypass and and survive, you know. So but our time is far spent. This is Hour of Healing. I hope this really challenged your thinking. And I know if you've been listening to these series and Hour of Healing for a couple of seasons now, by now your mind should be in some, because your mind should be upgrading. That's what we're talking about. Sometimes it's either mind blowing, mind challenging. It's just, it will crack some veins in your some vessels in your brain or something. Something will pop, you know. And I think it will open you up to life and what God has to offer for us. And, you know, again, heal ourselves, heal our families, our communities, and loved ones. So God bless you so much for tuning in. Don't forget to, if you have any questions, topics that are pressing to you that you want us to discuss, like Dr. Joe mentioned earlier, send your stuff to hourofhealing23@gmail.com. So be sure to send your testimonies. You've been listening to Hour of Healing for you, and we'll read it on here. We'll read it, you know, probably hashtag you in it. But be sure to send your testimonies, questions, topics that you really want us to delve into, that it's like something that's like you feel like has left some void in you, you know, you want us to heal you from it. Send it so we can discuss it, and it may help somebody else. So God bless you all so much. I will hand it back to Dr. Joe as he closes us off for this week.
Yes, thank you so much, Sister Candace. And I thank our audience for sticking with us this past 3 weeks as we delved into who wisdom is. I'm pretty sure that now our audience understand why the who and not a what before wisdom. And by way of summary, Sister Candace, where do we even start? We just want to thank God for the grace and the wisdom he has given us to be able to each and every week come your way with these life-changing conversations that the Lord, by his mercy, and really that is what all this is, that God has just chosen to show us mercy and giving us these thought-provoking topics each and every week. I want to remind you that Hour of Healing, we have a prayer ministry that each and every Saturday we meet live on YouTube and Facebook at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Chicago time. So don't forget to join us there. The Lord is doing wonderful things with our prayer life and giving us grace to manifest certain dimensions of our prophetic destinies, and it will blow your mind. It's just an hour straight prayers and worship, not much teaching, because we do all the teaching here. And as usual, as I mentioned last week, come November, God willing, we'll be coming your way with a devotional component of this, which will be about 30 to 45 minutes early in the morning. We will dive into the Word of God purely as we were reviewing the Word of God today. I can sense in my spirit how your spirit was fired up. Yes, we will see where God leads us with that. But to summarize our conversation on wisdom, or who wisdom is, I want to go back to a few things that we just looked at. And that wisdom says of herself that I love those who love me. So I hope by now you know where you can find her. But the least you can do is to love wisdom. Don't just covet to prophesy. Don't just covet the 9 spiritual gifts that Paul shows us. Because at the end of the day, if you prophesy without wisdom, that can also lead to the harm of people. Wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is lingering around the corridors of the city door, which means she can be found. Set your heart to know wisdom. Set your heart to pursue him, This, my dear audience, is just what God has helped us to know at this level in our life. Years from now, we will be talking about this with greater dimensions. And I pray that at that time, it will be building on the foundations that you already have, not restarting to build afresh. God bless you so much for taking the time to be with us on Hour of Healing. We will see you same time next week as we bring you another life-changing and thought-provoking conversation. God bless you. We will see you next week. Bye-bye.